The Echo Chamber escape hatch is open. Give us 22 minutes and we'll give you a fresh perspective. It's the Kelly Nash Podcast.
Welcome to the Kelly Nash Podcast. I had originally planned to work off the theme of the show opener, which is groupthink. And, you know, I mentioned it last week when we talk about the echo chamber. We talk about how groupthink really has made a huge impact on culture. And, you know, I hadn't really considered, I thought it was a lot worse now than it had ever been. And perhaps it is, but I have, I've got some interesting research that I was going to planning on discussing on this week's broadcast and showing you some studies from the 50s and 60s and 70s and how dangerous groupthink actually is and how it permeates all of our minds. It's a horrendous thing. But, you know, today being March 2nd, the whole Dr. Seuss story just blew up. So we are going to jump into that. As always, you can watch the video podcast version of this either on YouTube, Facebook, or Periscope at Kelly Nash Radio. And dang it, I forgot again to change the YouTube page. So the YouTube page is still K Nash Bash. And please subscribe if you are on the YouTube page. It would be a huge help to me. All right, let's get into it.
Oh, how are you tonight? Oh, my goodness, it's been quite a day for me. And probably for you as well, if you've been on social media and had anything to say about Dr. Seuss. By now, you probably all know exactly what's happened with Dr. Seuss. It started several years ago. There was a study done about Dr. Seuss books, and a California university found that there was a very limited minority characters, and then also found some of the racial stereotypes to be very demeaning. And so with that, there's been a movement for the last, since 2019, to try to at least limit or stop praising Dr. Seuss. We're living in some odd times. I never thought that this would really catch on. Dr. Seuss is one of those things that kind of been beloved by every generation, you know, since like the 50s. But in fact, we got a telltale sign yesterday when the president was making his proclamation regarding today's National Day of Reading for Kids. Every other president since 98, when it was established, has mentioned Dr. Seuss in that. And we actually have it on today, March 2nd, specifically to celebrate the man who was Dr. Seuss's real birthday. So I think he was born 117 years ago today. Anyway, that news broke yesterday that the president was pulling out the name Dr. Seuss. And then just after I got off the air this morning, the news broke that the publishers of Dr. Seuss were no longer going to publish six of his books. Here's one of those things where you're like, I don't know if I'm understanding this quite correctly, but the group that is no longer publishing Dr. Seuss is, in fact, Dr. Seuss Enterprises. And the group was again formed, that was formed in 93 with the express in their bylaws to protect and preserve the works of Dr. Seuss. So for them to say that we are not going to publish six of his books, you're not protecting or preserving. And then they actually put out a statement that said, we find some of the past works to be racist, which now you are actually condemning. So you've gone past, you've done the exact opposite of what you were supposed to be doing. That's your job. But, you know, hey, listen, there's a lot of people right now who feel like this is a good thing. They're basing that on the fact that they, too, have seen these stereotypes and they find them to be very disgusting imagery. And they have made the decision that they don't want that out there and they don't want kids reading it. And they think that it does harm to kids. And, you know, I'm one of those people who likes to look for the best in everybody. And I'm also one of those people who tries to see both sides of the argument. So I understand if you don't believe that children should read certain Dr. Seuss books because it's going to give them some sort of warped perception on race or whatever it is. I'm not minimizing that in any way. What I am saying is that the company that had the publishing rights or does own the publishing rights to all of Dr. Seuss's materials is not open to another publisher buying the rights to those six books and then publishing them. So if it was a public company, the board would remove the CEO of the company at that point, because they're saying you're actually going against our financial interests. By the way, the six books are still selling, so there's really no there is no business-based reason to take those books away. There's only a moral reason. And again, I'm not passing judgment on it. They're passing judgment. So they've made a moral decision that these books are morally ill-fit for publication. But then when you compound it with, we are not open to bids on those six books, that sends a clear message that you have made a decision that no one can read them moving forward. That is censorship. And it's shocking when it's coming from a group that was designed specifically to make sure Dr. Seuss was never censored, and also to defend his image moving forward. If you don't agree with Dr. Seuss, you shouldn't be working there. Okay. Now, with that being said, by the way, I need to mention before I get too far into this podcast that we are sponsored by New American Insurance. At New American Insurance, they understand that competition always benefits an educated consumer. So tell them what kind of insurance you're looking for. Whether it's life insurance, it could be car insurance, whatever it is. And they will go and shop the biggest companies, and they will find the best deal for you. And then they'll present it to you, and then you can move forward or not. It's newamericaninsurance.net, and I certainly do appreciate their sponsorship. With that being said, let's get back to the problem Dr. Seuss is experiencing right now, which is that his company has turned on him. And again, if this was, insert name of regular book publisher, if regular book publisher was taking a bunch of heat, and because that's the example that I've been given a lot today on social media, is that people end book deals all the time because of controversial statements made in books or whatever it is. And that's absolutely true. So if insert book publisher is about to release a book or has already released a book, and there's a big outrage about it, There's people protesting in front of them, and they decide, hey, you know what? The protesters are correct. We're not going to publish this book anymore. Okay. That is their right. That is not censorship. It becomes censorship when the guy or gal who wrote the book says, I have some other people, I'd like to put it out myself, I'd like to self-publish, or there's another publisher who's interested in buying the rights to it, please sell it to them. And they say, no, we own the rights to it and we refuse to release it. Now that is censorship. That's a group of individuals making a decision that they know better than the rest of society as to what ideas we can and cannot be exposed to, which may do damage to us or not do damage to us. Now, a perfect example I would think of this would be, what if when you get into hypotheticals, it's tough to play this game, but what if the Bible, come up with another religious book. The Bible is just the one that comes to mind, but, and I know that that's, the reason it's hard to do the hypothetical is because it's basically open to any publisher at this point who wants to publish the Bible. But if one publisher owned it and they decided that it's no longer applicable to today's times and they weren't going to publish it. And again, when you're doing examples, you're taking it to extremes. I recognize that people are going to say, Dr. Seuss is not the Bible, for God's sakes. totally recognize it. I'm trying to give you a point where if a company decides that a piece of literature or an idea or whatever is not fit for society, rather than society having an opportunity to review it and then saying, we don't like it, and then it stops selling, that's something completely different. Again, these books were still selling. They were still competitive in the workplace or in the marketplace. They were still being loaned at libraries. They're not going to be on the library shelves anymore. They're being pulled now per the request of the publisher. Get them out of here. We don't want people to see it. That's censorship. And that's how it leads into, I don't think that, you know, society is going to be a lot worse off because we don't have six Dr. Seuss books and we still have, what, 42 left or whatever. I don't know how many he wrote, 48, 50, whatever it was. We still have all that. So yes, your kids can still have a childhood with Dr. Seuss. But when we talk about slippery slopes, this is what one really starts to look like. And also, you have to wonder what kind of society we live in when this is a big concern for the people that you're looking for a bad guy in Dr. Seuss. You're looking for somebody there. You're looking in the literature of Dr. Seuss and to try to find something evil or wrong. There is so much blatantly wrong in the world. There's so much open evil that you can condemn. We are awash in it. And rather than focus on that, you take, I don't know how long it takes. I don't even understand your methodology. I mean, for the most part, Dr. Seuss was all kinds of colors, but you have assigned, apparently they assigned the main voice to be that of a white person. And that most of the care, if the character is the predominant character, that's white. To me, that's racist. That your study is racist. Now I'm accusing you're out of order. This whole court's out of order. So, you know what? I've been bad about checking the whole, yes, thank you, Doug Crawford. I got to get to these messages. Thank you for chiming in, Doug. Ed says the world is getting more crazy every day, and you are absolutely right about that, Ed. Jonathan Reynolds wants to ban Hop on Top. I don't know. I don't know if I can go with you there on that one, Jay Reynolds. But I just believe in a free and open discussion of ideas. If you want to discuss with me why you think Dr. Seuss is bad for children, love to engage on that. As a matter of fact, if you go and look at my Facebook page, you'll see that I had a number of people not wanting to have intelligent discussion. But I did have one woman who did want to have a nuanced conversation. She was against those six books. She had done her research. And she had valid points as to why they weren't right for her children. Totally appreciate her perspective. I think she also understood my perspective that they should still be allowed to be in the marketplace and that it's up to the parents to decide whether or not those, the children should be reading those books or not. But I love those types of discussions. I'll give you a fun fact about me. If I engage with you in a debate online, I don't debate most people anymore. For the most part, I just ignore your comments if I find them to be, if you're insulting me or whatever, I just don't even respond to it. Because I just assume that after so many years of playing this game that I've recognized that most people who want to start a conversation on social media with me with an insult, those people's, they're going to be below my intellect. And they're not going to understand my point. So you should take it as a compliment if I actually engage with you in a debate on social media, because it means that I, at least at the beginning, believe that you are my equal and you will understand the points that I'm making and that I will understand the points that you're making. If at some point in the conversation, I say, you're right, you win. That's my way of explaining to you that you don't understand enough about what we're talking about. I ended one of the conversations today with a lady who was trying to argue with me that the point of the Constitution is to protect companies who want to stop publishing books. And I mean, as I was watching that conversation deteriorate, I'm giving it, a very abbreviated version of her elongated argument. I said, We don't need a constitution to protect companies for, you know, who don't want to make things. That's not the purpose of the Constitution. And then she went on another, you know, four paragraphs or something. And I just said, you're right. You win. Thank you. Thank you for teaching me. So anyway, that's a fun tip about me. If I get to the point where I tell you, you're right, you win, that's not really what's happening there. At least not from my perspective. Perhaps from yours, it would be. And she seemed to take it that way. Like I say, I only give myself about 20 minutes a week on this podcast. I don't think that they should go much longer, but here's the here's what I'm asking you. Please engage with me, whether it's in the comments section, whether it's on social media, whether it's, you know, I know most of you actually have my text number. You can text me. Engage with me and let me know what you're thinking of the podcast. What are you thinking of this video cast? We are on Facebook, Periscope, and YouTube Live. Those will, I think, stay up for a couple of weeks, possibly, maybe longer. I don't know how long they stay up for, to be honest with you. So if you comment there, I think I'll probably see them, you know, even if it's not tonight. Tonight, by the way, if you're not watching live, is March 2nd. It's about 7:45 right now. But I'd love to know what kind of things you'd like to see on the podcast or hear on the podcast, what kind of issues you'd like us to get into and break down. It's just it's an opportunity for me to learn from you because I certainly need an education on these types of things. What subject matter do you want hit upon? By the way, the point of this podcast when I started it was to talk about news of the day and give a Christian perspective. I didn't really do a very good job tonight of bringing God into it. The point tonight was more just based on the, you know, the American Constitution or even just common sense from my perspective about censorship. But if you're looking at God, the God of the Bible is a very creative being. And he would want his creations to be creative. He created you with creativity. All human beings have creativity, whether they're in the creative arts field or not. It could be problem solving as an engineer, whatever it is that you do. And it's not even just in your workplace. It could be structuring your kids' schedules for the day. All human beings are creative to some degree or another. And God, you know, that's one of the many attributes that you have that make you in the image of God. So he wants you to use that. Now, the question becomes, if you're using your creativity for something evil, would God want you to use that? Yeah, no, God does not want you to commit sin in any way. What is my obligation then as a Christian if I see something that I think is sinful? For example, these people are pointing out the six books from Dr. Seuss. They think that they're sinful books, that they're diminishing human beings in some way or whatever. I totally believe that your responsibility and your privilege is to speak out against it, is to do what people had been doing from 2019 on for the most part. Do not go to cancel culture, though. And there's the line. There's a line of me telling a company or an individual telling another individual or a group of individuals, this is offensive because of this, or this is dangerous because of this. It becomes different when the rhetoric becomes, and you better end it, or we'll end your company, or we'll end your career, or we'll end something. When the threat of ending things comes into play, you've crossed a line that I don't think God gave you the right to. Just being honest. Perhaps you disagree with me. Hey, my goodness, look at who just chimed in. Winston is watching from India. Well, all right. Nice to hear from you, Winston. When are you coming back? I've been waiting for you to make your triumphant return. And Rick says he had a similar argument with a lady that said Rodney Atkin was Thomas Rhett's dad. So, yes, Rick does a... several radio shows and is a very popular radio personality in Charleston and Nashville. I believe you're still on WSIX in Nashville, if I am not mistaken. So I can see where Rick would have all kinds of arguments with ladies about Rodney Atkins and Thomas Rhett. Anyway, I'm going to wrap it up now. Again, love to hear from you. You all have my numerous ways of contacting me. I hope you'll take advantage of it. And thank you for spending some time with me tonight or whenever you're listening to this podcast or videocast.